Schaffel Löschel, auf der besonderen Fußball. Chip. Oh, Stradivera, what a cheeky goal.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 423 Soccer Pod, the podcast that CFC built. This is Jim, a.k.a. Chad Gunner, and we've got a full house tonight with Todd, Shabby, and Shelly. We are fortunate to have with us on the call one person that if you have followed CFC for any amount of time, you will certainly know his name. Matter of fact, we don't even need two names, and that is Zeka, who was on the call with us. Also, Gabriel Schrey is on the call. They are the new broadcast team for CFC matches on 11 Sports. And so, guys, we appreciate you spending some time with us. How are things in your – well, Zeka, you're coming – sounds like you're coming back from training. So how was training tonight, and how are you doing?
Hey guys, well, thanks for having me over here. And training tonight was actually pretty good. I am the assistant coach of a team in the academy, and I am assistant coach for Richard Dixon. So, yeah, Richard did his magic today. I was just there to support him, so it was awesome.
And Gabriel, how are things over? I'm not sure. Where are you in Chattanooga?
I'm outside of Chattanooga. I'm up in McDonald, kind of hiding out in the trees over here.
Okay.
Oh, near Cleveland.
Okay. Yeah, just kind of
you're
right
near
in the
Todd.
Middle.
You yeah. and Todd are close. Okay.
Well, hey guys, it's great to have you on. I've really enjoyed the broadcast so far this year, and it really seems to be an improvement over what we have had in the past, or maybe a continual improvement over the past, what we've done over the past couple of years. Gabriel, I'll start with you, and then guys, anybody who has questions can jump in. Talk a little bit about kind of how you got into broadcasting and kind of what's your background and history before you came to Chattanooga.
It's a long one at this point. You know, it used to be such a short story, and it feels like it's becoming a little novella. It's something I always wanted to do, and started in college. I went to college specifically to become a sports play-by-play broadcaster. Me and 11 other guys in my graduating class, you know, all enrolled on day one. Well, what do you want to do? Well, I want to be on ESPN. You know, everybody wants to do that these days. And it's something I had wanted to do for a few years already, something I decided I wanted to do while I was still in high school. And a couple of my teachers told me they thought I would be able to do that and be successful at it. So I picked a college based off of that aspiration and pretty quickly got on the radio calling the football, basketball, hockey games at that college. It's Adrian College in Southeast Michigan. And just from there, built my resume, started working with JTV Jackson in Jackson, Michigan, and then went to Buckeye Cable Sports Network in Toledo, Ohio. And relocated here to Chattanooga for my day job. Worked with a sport group and the ownership company of AstroTurf, who manufactured the field that CFC plays on. And just have been rebuilding my resume and my portfolio broadcasting. So I've been able to do some really exciting things in the last couple of years. Lots of HBCU stuff with HBCU League Pass Plus, SUV TV. Lots of ESPN Plus stuff. I did the SoCon Wrestling Championship, and CFC is definitely the feather in my cap of my new resume here. So I've really enjoyed getting to know the entire club, the front office, and working with Zach. He's a true pro.
Nice. Now, you said you're went to college in Michigan. Are you a Michigan native?
Yeah, I grew up in a little farm town in mid-Michigan, just about an hour and 10 minutes south of Lansing, called Stockbridge, Michigan. And went to high school there, moved to Adrian, Michigan, in the very southeastern part of Michigan, and lived there for 8 years, and moved right from there to here in Chattanooga area. All right, hang on. I'm holding my hand up too. This is hard to do without video. So kind of like go to where Detroit is and go maybe a half an inch northwest of there is where I'm from.
Okay, that means
Very close, dangerously close. Adrian is right on the border. So when I lived in Adrian, I was very close to becoming an Ohioan. And I do have a deep love for Toledo, Ohio. It's a great city.
So you are, since we were just talking right before we started recording that you're new to soccer. You're learning the ropes. What's the most interesting thing you've learned so far? Maybe the differences between calling soccer and calling other sports.
I like the pace of soccer. It reminds me of a lot of other different sports, the way the movement goes and the way you can carry the broadcast from a play-by-play standpoint. You know, I see what I do as an art and really enjoy trying to bring it to life and use different verbs and adjectives to describe the movement of the ball and whatever that might be, whatever sport I'm doing at the time. And I'm enjoying getting to know some of the new descriptors that I can use and how it all fits together. The most interesting part is something I brought up and we kind of talked about before we started recording, definitely promotion and relegation. Blows my mind that they're doing this in Europe and in other parts of the world. And I just love the thought of that being done in major sports in America. I wish that was a part of what we do here.
Yeah, you've entered into some murky waters there with ProRel. Conversations with lower league soccer. That could be a whole other conversation. We could probably spend a lot of time just on that alone. Zeko, getting to you, how did you get back involved? I mean, you are probably one of the iconic players for CFC. I don't think I'm overstating that. I think people who have followed the club for a long time, you know, all you have to say is Zeka, you don't need anything else and people know. How did you decide to get onto this side of the mic?
Well, yeah, it was the fact that I never really left. I mean, with my involvement with the club, I'm still part of a lot of things do with the club. I know it's still great friends with a lot of people in there. And yeah, that's how the idea of me being the broadcasting room came up. And It's been great so far.
Is this your first experience with calling games, or have you had an opportunity to do that before?
Well, you got to ask my wife because she thinks that I've been doing this for a while. Because you know, at home I'm literally screaming at the TV, and so that has been my experience. And she's like, "Oh, I'm so glad you're doing that now," and you know. In a legit manner, you know, as far as like, hey, this is actually something you do, not just scaring the neighbors or the dog, you know, things like that that I do at home while I'm yelling at the TV. I'm still heavily involved, not only with CFC, but with soccer. I still watch so much soccer. I read about it, you know, I'm podcasting all the time at work. That's what I'm doing. I'm listening to podcasts and like I sign up for The Athletic. I don't know if you guys know that platform, and I listen to all them podcasts and follow most of the Premier League, you know.
Yeah, and you play Champions on the adult league. And all that. Yeah, and you're playing on an adult league here too.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all just won. I saw that on social media.
Yeah, I'm playing with Breezy on his team on the over 30s. Yeah. So yeah.
What's your favorite podcast that you listen to from The Athletic?
That one with Jimbo. What's his name? What's that? It's just the regular Premier League ones. Ones that they release it for the international soccer as well.
Yeah,
I'm not really sure the name, but it's the one that is released every Monday and Tuesday and Thursday. So.
Do you listen to any team-specific show? Any team-specific shows?
No, I don't do teams.
Yeah.
I'm not really super focused in one team. I'm just focused on the big games and the players and stuff like that. That's usually what I follow. And, So, I'm, you know, bringing some of that experience to the CFC games. You know, like, what can I bring in with my experience to describe the game better to someone who's watching and following with the streaming, you know. So I've been paying attention to the role of those types of people in soccer, definitely.
Well, what I will say, that second home match of the season, unfortunately, I wasn't able to be there because I was sick, but I did watch the stream and listen to you all. And I will say, Zach, I really loved, because obviously I've been with the following the club since, you know, basically the beginning, and I've watched every iteration of you playing with us. And it's really cool to hear your insight whenever the stream's going, talking about your time playing here and the atmosphere and things like that. So I will say, like, kudos, because I think both of them together, it created a really awesome experience for me whenever I was watching the stream, since I couldn't actually be there. So I enjoy hearing kind of your insight and you talking about the players and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, thank you. That means a lot, you know. Still, in my way to still be engaged, involved in the game with everybody that's been so close to my history here at CFC, you know, that's still very special to me. Being able to do that in different ways is something that I'm going to do the best job that I can. And if you guys, you know, I'm kind of biased watching those games too. I don't know if Gabe's probably like wants to sometimes give me like, stop saying this, but I get kind of biased sometimes, and I try not to, you know, because I'm just, you know, like, there's a call by the referee, I'm like, oh, what are you doing? You know, hey. And I don't want to be that guy, but at the same time, like, I'm like, yeah.
You can be that guy, because me and Shabby were those girls at the last match.
Right?
Well, so. I'll say this. Zach or Gabe, if you watch a lot of lower league soccer coverage, like on ESPN or some of the – I think, Gabe, you mentioned that you watch some of the other Enisa calls. But all of the calls are home – they're homer calls. Like, you know, okay. the people who are calling – the matches, they're all like local folks calling their local team. You can tell. Now, some are worse than others. You know, I've always thought the guys in Detroit, that Detroit City, you know, they're really good, but they're also homers. I mean, they're homers. Right. So listen, if you want to slip in and say that, you know, how you really feel about a call, I'm here for it. I don't know about Gabe. I don't know how he feels, but I am totally here for it.
Gabe is a lot more professional than me, like, definitely.
I think there's balance. I think Zeka is going to get away with it because he played for CFC, right? I mean, it's going to be very hard for a fan to say, "Ah, that guy's too biased." Well, he played for the club for 8 years.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tricky. And I say a lot of we. I say we are doing this, we're
That's
doing
right.
that.
That's right. I love
it. I'm like, it'll be hard for me not to say that. But at the same time, I try to be like honest, and I try to be like, hey, if we mess up, I'm going to say it. Like, for example, when we got scored on last game against Savannah, you know, how we all stopped playing without the referee blowing the whistle. I was like, oh, that was a, you know, like, what were we doing? Like, come on, that can't be happening.
So I will as a player, Zach, I'm interested in that call because when I was in the stadium, I felt a certain way about it. And when I went back and watched, you know, I watch a lot. I know a little bit about the laws of the game. Right. How do you feel about that? So he goes in, he lunges in, leaps in, two-footed stud showing. Now he wins the ball, but that's a dangerous play. Whether he wins the ball or not.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not really sure how that wasn't called as a foul.
Yeah, I do agree with you. It was a dangerous play. It should have been a call, but the whistle didn't go. So
I know.
And I was watching there, and I'm like, the ball's playing. I'm like, whoa, the whistle did not go. Let's go. And, I mean, Savannah really understood that a lot quicker and reacted a lot quicker than we did. Chattanooga did, and that's how, you know, that's how all that happened. But that's just an example of, you know, I can definitely be biased for CFC, but at the same time, if there's a situation where I think we did poorly, I'm gonna say, hey, that wasn't good enough, you know.
How difficult is it though for you to be critical of guys that you know and a team that you've been with for 8 years?
Yeah, it's hard. I'm not going to go like, oh, that was awful. Like, I'm not going to go on somebody and like ridiculize their action on the field. But if there's a point where I say, hey, this wasn't good enough, like I will probably stop there. And definitely, you know, not trying to go too harsh. But I mean, I think I can be honest, and that's also part of my experience, is knowing when something is good and when something is also not good. So I'm going to try to go to be, you know, along those lines.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because one of my questions, you know, looking at your experience and your time with the club and how things, you know, how things used to be when you played, do you, do you have any insights or reactions to, you know, the style of play that we're seeing out of the team now in comparison to, you know, when you played?
Yeah, I do have some comments about that. And I think about, like, hey, if I was there today, like, how would it be for me, like, on that team? You know, like, just having the feeling from the outside, what I understand that goes on the team. I think the CFC now has a much more rigid way of playing. You know, it's a defined way, but at the same time, it's a rigid way where I don't think myself as a player would benefit out of that. And I think that's why Coach Rod definitely has his players that he prefers, and he handpicks them to be part of that system. So really, that's my and if I was, you know, on the team, I don't think I would have been one of those guys, honestly.
So it's interesting. So, you know, now in the international game, in the club game, you know, you've got Pep, and you've got, like, you know, someone like Arteta. So I'm an Arsenal fan. So I'll just own that right now. Where I really think it's interesting the way you said that, how structured. I mean, that there's some people who will criticize the total football that Pep and Arteta play as overly mechanical. That it's overly, there's not enough feel to it. As opposed to if you go back to a former Arsenal manager with Wenger, where he wanted his players to go out and express. He saw the game as jazz, whereas Arteta sees it more as mm-hmm. really structured. Do you see the game moving more towards that total football that, you know, the more rigid and structured?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's been definitely, you know, a lot of the success in some of the biggest teams are due to that. And again, I know Arteta is being a great manager this season, but Pep being definitely the one that stands out at mm-hmm. this generation. And it's just that battle between those schools of thought. And, you know, if I had to pick, if I could pick a style of game to be played, and you mentioned two managers already that are great. For me, the one that I love to have, if I could, you know, like, again, on a dreamy situation, would be Klopp.
Yeah.
Where, you know, just all in, like, intense passion, you know, we're in for this. We're all one, fans, players, that whole thing that he brings together. I know they haven't been great this season, but it's one thing that would, you know, give me chills watching some of those Liverpool games when they were, you know, competing at the highest level for a couple of seasons. And that's what I felt sometimes at CFC when we had those moments, you know, when it was like, hey, like, I'm fighting here on the field, but, like, you guys on the stands, like, we all won. And this is what it means for to wear this shirt, you know. So there's a lot of that in me, that nostalgic way of the feel of the game, you know. And yeah. I can go on for a long time. But, yeah, that's my opinion on that.
So, Gabe, I'm interested, as someone who's relatively new to the game, have you noticed different styles where you're watching, and do you have a preference for kind of the game that you like to see?
Chattanooga Football Club. I love Coach. I love Coach's mentality. You know, when you've been around coaches in different sports for a decade, you start to pick up on personality types that are successful, and you learn who you like. Coach Underwood is that guy. He is him. I mean, I just love his personality. I love the way he approaches it. I look forward to growing my relationship with him. You know, you can just feel it when you're around him. Great leader, great guy. And that's the kind of coach you look for. And I love the system he's got rolling too. The mentality is a mentality I've seen before in other sports with other teams at different levels. I've seen it at the D3 level be really successful that, you know, our offense is so good, we don't need defense is kind of the mentality, and it works. It works.
So along those lines, I've got to ask. Oh, I'm so sorry. Was I talking over someone?
Todd had his hand raised.
Indeed, I did.
Okay, go ahead,
that's
Todd.
Okay, go ahead. I was just going to ask Gabriel, if you could, like drawing on your past experiences like with broadcasting, what sport do you think has translated the best to helping you commentate soccer?
Oh, man, I hate saying this publicly. Ice hockey, for sure. I have a ton of experience with college ice hockey, and I love ice hockey. And it definitely, a lot of the verbiage translates well, and a lot of the mentality translates well, believe it or not, at least in my mind. That's been a big help for me. And I did not have a ton of soccer experience when I showed up in the Scenic City. I'd done maybe 15 college games and maybe 10 high school games. I did some playoff soccer on Buckeye Cable in Toledo. So that experience was very, very important for me. A good place to start, and just in having a good knowledge of describing movement of the ball, you know, that's kind of where my basis for that pick of ice hockey comes from. A lot of those verbs I use, you'll hear me say things like, the ball skeeters over the touchline. You know, that comes from ice hockey. And it squibs between defenders and ricochets, rockets, howitzers, right, blasts, lasers. Those things come from ice hockey. And so those descriptors, they make it a lot more fun. They make it a lot more engaging. And that's very intentional, that choice of verbiage and those adjectives. That's something I work on.
Hey, I've got a challenge for you. I want you to, without any sense of irony, get boom, there goes boom goes the dynamite into a CFC CFC show without any irony. Do not acknowledge it before or after. Just put boom goes the dynamite in it, and that's my challenge to you at some point before the end of the season. So
Zach, I have something to talk to you about.
Okay. Hey, I actually, like, for all you said, yeah, like you the way you described the game, I think it's been great. You know, I mean, you are who you are. That's your experience, and I think it brings it to the game. You know, the way a lot of people here watch it, the way a lot of people here describes it. So, yeah, you're not far off from the best on the business, man.
It's very, very intentional. To a degree, you know, just to give you some examples and some thoughts. I work with a company called Broadcast Marketing Services, and I do a 30-minute review of my play-by-play every week and just get roasted for 30 minutes. Like, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong. It's all the things I'm doing wrong. And I write that down and try and incorporate that into my next call. So this week, you know, looking back on that game, the penalty kick, the first score of the game, I did not do his score justice. I mean, it sounded like I was bummed almost that Hargreaves scored. And so that's important to me. You know, not only for the highlight tape of Chattanooga Football Club and our fans, but to the fans of the other club, to the front office, to NISA, right? You want to do justice to those calls, and you want everyone to be a special moment. You know, if you only get 20 goals in your career, it's not going to be fun if you're on the road and the highlight has a guy who's not very excited about it. And that's, I'm trying to bring that energy for every single big play, for every single club. That's important to me. So a lot of those things are very, very intentional. And definitely not going to get worse, going to get better each week as time goes on.
Well, yeah, that's pretty cool you say that, man. Honestly, I think that's awesome.
I'll just say from my standpoint, you don't need to show that much emotion for the other team scoring. That's fine.
I mean, emotionless is completely fine.
That's fine. You can be completely fine. If the emotion is anger and frustration, that's fine as well. So, Shabby, I'm sorry. You were getting ready to say something.
No, I was going to say, I really like, Gabriel, that you brought up, you know, the post work that you do, because the question I was just about to ask is, what kind of homework do you do pre and post game, you know, to do this kind of color commentary? Because some people probably don't understand or know just the amount of work that goes into this.
Yeah, it's a ton of labor. Definitely a labor of love. The last home game, I spent about 10 hours doing prep work. And I used less than I usually would. Usually I use about 60% of all of the notes I come up with. So I dig through the rosters. I figure out what nationalities all the players are. That becomes a stat. How many different countries guys are from. The driving distance is a favorite of mine, how far a team has to travel. And you'll probably hear me bring that up every single week. I'll say, Zeka, you know, does that play a factor if you're a player, how far you're traveling? You know, you might get tired of hearing some of that stuff because it is a little repetitive. But people don't watch broadcast typically from end to end. So, a lot of notes, facts, stats, I'll use them in a pyramid that rotates about every 15 minutes. So I'll recap what we've seen so far, scoring chances, how goals happened. And then some of those notes might get used two or three times during one game.
So do you practice your big calls? Have you auditioned various calls for a goal?
A little bit. So one of the criticisms I got from my coach, his name is David, and I love this guy. He's fantastic. One of the criticisms he's been giving me lately is that my goal calls sound angry. So he'll make me sit there and do a goal call for him over the phone where I don't sound angry. So that's something I'm working on is, you know, bring the intensity, bring the energy, bring the heat when that score happens, but make sure it's a pleasant end, a pleasant wind down to the call of the score.
And also, how long can you hold out that O? Have you timed yourself yet?
The O, I'd probably a long time if I really wanted to.
Could be a new game, your drinking game.
It's just so funny when you think of those announcers where they're like, "Goal!"
Yeah,
We don't need any more of that. There's enough. There's enough of that.
That's why I brought it up as a joke. Sheesh! Yeah. The only humor in the episode. You're gonna cut me off the knees now.
Right. Yeah.
Tell you what. If I had thought that second goal was gonna stand, you might have gotten the drawn out O there on Saturday. That was a bummer.
And in that situation, we need you to let the hatred and anger flow.
flow freely.
Embrace your inner sociopath and lose your empathy for the other team and just let it flow. We'd be fine with that.
That's a tough moment. That's a tough moment as a play-by-play broadcaster because you're so affiliated and so entrenched with the franchise and the city, and this is where you live. And you have to remember that almost everybody watching is from the other city, and it's families and friends and people who have grown up with those players. So you have to bring that energy in a way that is unbiased. And that's their big moment, right? That's the moment they've secured the tie and such a big moment in their season and the standings and earning points. So to sit there and try and in real time control your emotion, very difficult, not easy.
And we don't need any of that.
I prefer to think that everyone that watches the stream of us playing is really there for us, whether they believe it or not. That's the narrative that I stick with.
Hey, Gabe, don't let these people corrupt you, man.
Listen, I've watched enough regional baseball coverage. I've watched enough. I mean, they're homers. There's a lot of hometown calls, and so I don't have a problem. But I appreciate the professionalism and the want to be objective. If you let a little bit slip in, a little bit of subjectivity and anger about a call that goes against. I'll be okay with that game.
I'll be the bad cop.
That's a great bad cop. Not that much to those teams. They would have their own announcers. We know how this works.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, I've got a question for y'all. It's one that we actually throw around every season at the beginning of the season when we're getting started and getting ready to go. Is that in your eyes, whether it's CFC, but preferably CFC, what would you all consider as a successful season? Because we all have varying thoughts on what we think a successful season means for CFC.
Well, for me, it's winning the whole thing. Like, for how the NIS is structured, you know, like how the playoffs is structured and all that. I mean, I think it's winning. Like, lifting that trophy. I don't see any other way around it, you know.
Gabe, do you have any thoughts of what you think would be a successful?
Well, you know, it's going to be a boring corporate answer. I mean, I think anytime you can have a winning season, that's really important. I think it's tough to set expectations like that early. That puts a lot of pressure on guys. That puts a lot of pressure on the front office and the coaching staff, but they have that expectation for themselves. So I see success as anything that's a winning season. And I've been around a lot of losing teams and sad locker rooms. So it's really fun to be along for the ride when a club is this good.
Gabriel, just to change things up a little bit, I know that CHS Live is a new affiliation that CFC has after kind of breaking with some other production. I guess I'm guessing it was kind of in-house production. You're kind of an experienced guy with this. What's that relationship been like with them coming in and your experience so far?
That's a great opportunity for high school level students who are interested in broadcasting. And the way all the equipment is tying together with Dell running the board and switching and directing, it's coming together as a really good professional broadcast. So I'm excited about anytime you can get students involved in something at such a high level, anytime you can get that level of quality. And I love that they're trying to try new things, trying to tie in new things. And I think they've got more plans that we're going to unveil and add to the broadcast throughout the course of the season that'll make it even more polished and more professional. So I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah, I will say I do appreciate the extra cameras. Yeah, I know that we've had some extra cameras on the pitch and some additional angles. And I think it's been really a really nice addition. I know we had some issues with the graphics package this past match, and which was unfortunate, but even that has been great. And the activations and what we've been able to do for partners on the broadcast has been really nice. I really think this has been one of the better, if not the best year so far, for the broadcast. And I think Gabe and you and Zeka have contributed a lot to that. And so, I really appreciate it, because I do think a club like CFC deserves that type of coverage. And, you're doing the club well, you're doing the club right. And, I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Jim. Do you hear about the news?
Which news are we talking about?
They're going to do a kiss cam too.
What?
No.
You know what? We've been joking about that for several seasons. Not that would be a
hoot. No.
Come on.
I'm pro kiss cam.
No. What? You're pro kiss cam?
I'm pro kiss cam. I would love. We can do that right on the broadcast.
It would be hilarious. Right? See, Jim, if they brought the Manganata back, it could be you kissing your Manganata glass.
We can bring the Manganata glass. We can bring the Manganata kiss cam. That'd be fun. if it's sponsored by someone who's bringing me Manganatas, then I'm familiar. I don't know, Gabe or Zeka, if you're familiar with the Manganata and the glory that is the Manganata, but we'll need to
get. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we'll need to. You'll need to try it, and maybe someday I'll make some and just bring them because.
Yeah. Because,
yeah. So
we're on the third floor.
I know where you are. Nope. I used to spend some matches up there doing stats, sitting in that big old room by myself. So I know where it is. So guys, you have any other questions for Zeka or for Gabe?
Not on my end. I'll say I will reiterate. So I didn't think I was going to get a chance to listen to the feed and things. I'm normally at the matches, but I have been very impressed so far. I really enjoy it. So I have a feeling, I mean, not that, that anyone would not enjoy it, but I've heard some really great things about it. So y'all need to hear that you're doing a quality job and people are really enjoying it.
Yes, indeed.
Cool. I have a question for you guys.
To listen to the stream at the same time as watching the game.
Say that again, Todd. You broke up a little bit.
I said I think I may start trying to listen to the stream while watching the game live.
So I can get
the commentary.
I will say for this past game, I did utilize the broadcast from my seat. I edited some of the video to show. I tweeted out my thoughts on some of the more interesting calls from.
It's
from
okay. The match. You can say piss poor.
Yeah. I mean, right. we've you can say that, Jim.
So Zeka, you said you had questions for us.
Yeah. So what are you guys' thoughts on the season so far?
On the season so far, I mean, there's not a whole lot to be upset about. I think I think, you know, I'm a little concerned about the offense going forward with without Taylor. You know, I don't know. I know he's been out for a couple of matches. I don't know if he's going to be out for a long time or if it's
he's going to be out for a while.
Yeah, that's I kind of heard that, and so mm-hmm. I think I'm a little worried about that on the wing. You know, Juan Luis and Mumu have been kind of up and down. Mumu's coming back from injury. I think Juan mm-hmm. Luis just trying to gain some confidence. Damian has been, I think people are aware of him now. He cannot sneak up on anybody. And mm-hmm. so they are putting bodies on him. And so I think this is a time in his development where he's going to have to say, you know what, I may be smaller, but I'm not going to take this. And he's going to get maybe a little bit more of the bulldog in him to kind of fight through some of that physicality, because he's got the talent. He's got the ability. I think teams are aware. And so I'm a little concerned because Marcus has been, he's not had a lot of service, and
right.
You know, teams, what we saw last Saturday, I think we're going to see a lot. You know, maybe right. not
lines
not,
of five.
Yes. Or at least mm-hmm. four and four, at least two banks of right. four. And to do that, we're going to need to be a little bit quicker in decision-making. We're going to need to switch the ball from side to side a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. I think that will come. The great thing about the team, at least from my perspective, is we have an incredibly strong, solid foundation to build from. And that is right. a keeper who is strong in his area. Is decent with distribution. We've got two right. starting center backs who control the 18 and control mm-hmm. that back line. We've got
Prepelita has been yes. something, huh?
Yeah, we've got a six who has been able to. I mean, Richard. And one of the other things I've noticed that teams are doing is they are marking the heck out of him. I mean,
yes,
they are right mm-hmm. up his backside as soon as yeah. he's trying to get the ball, and he has still managed to make some yeah. space.
Yeah, he controls the tempo of the game. Yeah,
and mm-hmm. so I think if as he gets more in, as he gets more into it, and the forwards get a little bit more into it, and we move the ball back and forth a little bit quicker, because we've got the talent. Perez mm-hmm. and Stripling on the outside have looked really good. Mm-hmm. I know Sosa's got the game to do it.
I mean, he used to kill us.
Yeah,
he wants to play against us. Yeah. I'm like, Sosa, come on, man. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. So I think the offense just takes a little bit longer. We've got, what was it? We've got eight new players that on the team.
Yeah.
Well, now nine, because really the only players who are playing right now that started last year are McGrath and Dixon. Oh, and Marcus. So
and
we've
Marcus,
got three.
Yeah.
And the whole, everybody else is new. And it's only what? We're only the fifth game. So. Yeah. I was a little concerned. I'm glad we got the draw. On Saturday,
yes.
But yeah, that's I don't know. I've talked a lot. I don't know, Shabby Shelley. Do you have any?
Yeah, thoughts? I mean, I've been impressed with the team so far. I mean, with it being a relatively new team, you know, you worry how long is it going to take them to kind of get a feel for each other and playing together and things like that. But I think they've done exceptionally well. I love the versatility. We actually talked about this a little bit last episode, is that we have a really versatile squad with the talent base that we have out there. And it's kind of fun to see, because we have, compared to last year, we're able to do some moving around, and I've liked to see that a lot as well. But to bring up Jim's point, I have noticed, especially in the last two matches, and I think it's because we are the team to beat, is that way more marking of our players. So I think the biggest mm-hmm. thing that we can do as a squad right now is to work on ways to kind of counteract that, so that we can keep pressing, you know, the game forward yeah. and the movement of the game in our advantage. But I am definitely very impressed, and couldn't be more happy with how the team's doing right now.
Cool. Yeah. I think Todd has his hands up.
Yeah, Todd, do you got something?
Up.
Yeah. I'm trying to be a good student, you know? So Zach, I have a question. In your opinion, like, what does CFC need to do when they are faced with these low blocks or really defensive-minded teams? We've seen the team struggle over the past couple of years to break those kinds of tactics down. So how do you go about breaking those down?
Well, I think that's a great question. And just to circle back on why I'm asking those kinds of questions, really I want Gabe to be, you know, in like part of this too, you know, so he can gain some experience of like learning a little bit about, you know, of, you know, the dips into the soccer world, you know, and those are great conversations to have here. For me to break those low blocks and those heavily defensive shaped teams, you know, getting those early services, those early crosses really help, you know, for us, CFC, what we have going, we have some big bodies out there. I thought last game it took us so long to get a good cross on the box. You know, we're trying to play those combination plays out of set pieces that weren't really working out when we have somebody like Prepelica that, you know, can do very well with some aerial plays. And, you know, being patient, you know, not trying to get with the referee. Sometimes we lose our focus on the game. You know, if we are the team that's going to keep the ball, can we keep it well, manage well, invite the team to pressing us in areas that we can then have some more room on the opposite side of the field and then get some more direct balls instead of just those short little passes that can break lines. But at the end of the day, we still have a solid defensive line that we still have to go through. So just a couple of things like that. I thought last game, when we played those early crosses, honestly, I thought that's when we looked at best. And if we were focused a little more of that and getting to those areas and getting balls in for Marcus, for example, we could have potentially have had more chances to score.
What was your take on the formation change? Near the when we brought in Lenny and went kind
of
two at the top.
I thought it was good. I thought it really changed the game in our favor. I do have a feeling that might be something we try earlier on games where teams are lined up on this way. I like that we did a lot of subs on this game. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw a lot of new faces in there that can definitely feel that, you know, those guys felt the moment that, you know, they haven't had many minutes in so far. One of those is Fabian, who got in there and he looked a little new, but as he's going to be used more and more, we can benefit from players like that coming off the bench and changing the game and helping us out a little bit too, you know.
So Todd, you know, Todd wrote in the chat, I think he's having some a little bit technical problems, but I think he's asking a little bit more about the off the ball movement, which I think is really important when you're talking about breaking down these bunkered teams is using your own movement to move the defense and create lanes and create space. What have you seen from our off the ball movement and what do you like about it? What do you think, or where do you think we need to improve?
Well, one thing that I've been very impressed about is with one particular player who I haven't followed that much, and is McGrath.
Yeah.
His ability to be a big presence defensively and also as we attack, you know, how he arrives in the box with so much energy still. And he's one of those surprise elements that we bring in once we're able to connect those passes and break some of those lines down. And I think we've been doing well with those midfield players arriving on the box and being options for crosses or for shots outside of the box if we have those. One thing I'd like to see more is our front three to be more mobile and not just be so one, you know, just like you have players on the wing that are just going to try to, you know, go to the byline and so forth. And Marcus, maybe a little more movement off him because he does well off the box as well. You know, he can strike the ball from anywhere. So maybe creating more of those chances, not just being a team that offers only one thing, you know, be more multi-dimension as far as our options to, you know, score goals or create chances.
And I think Lenny might be important to that. I think one of the things I've seen, I mean, he's a big body, and I hope if we can pair him up with Marcus, play a little big guy, little guy, you know, kind of the pairing where Marcus can play off of him. And I do think, I mean, Zeca, I think it's going to be interesting to see if we go to three at the back more frequently than we have in the past.
Yeah. I mean, I think when Lenny came in last game, we definitely changed the way we were playing, and we looked pretty good. I mean, when he was in the field, so.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was more we played differently or they backed off more. It may have been a little bit of both. I don't know.
Right. I think you're right about that.
Because they really sunk deeper and deeper and deeper, as which I guess, you know, they were there to get they. It was pretty clear they were set up to get a draw. They were set up to get a draw. If they could nick a goal and see out a win, that'd be great. But they were not really there to play. I don't want to offend anybody who's listening from Savannah, but they weren't really there to play. They were there to get a result. And
yes,
and they did. You know, kudos to them. They did what they had to do to get the job. You know, they had a little help with our friend in the center, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, I can give one example of that while I was playing for CFC, and I don't want to keep it too long, but when we played in 2020, when we played Detroit in Detroit, mm-hmm. and we got a result.
Yep.
Okay, that game, Coach Fuller had caught COVID that week. Okay, mm-hmm. and Coach Bill Elliott stepped in, and that's exactly what he did. Very similar to what Savannah offered to CFC, and that speaks volumes for what CFC is now. CFC is a team that plays with the ball. CFC is the quality team. When we were playing 2020 NISA, Detroit was definitely the team to be beat, you know. So our strategy on that game 3 years ago was to sit on a low block. We defended with three in the back, but it was more like a five in the back. Mm-hmm. And we let them keep the ball. They had one of those big center backs. We're like, we're going to have let that guy keep the ball as much as he wants because he couldn't really play. He was not a playmaker. And we just took our chances on the counterattack, and sometimes those things work. It's very easy, not easy, but it's easier to be the team sitting on a low block than it is the team trying to play. And I think that speaks volume for, you know, mm-hmm. what CFC is, what CFC stands for, Coach Rogers and the coaching staff work. So even though it's frustrating sometimes as fans and as players to play against those teams, there's a reason why they're doing that, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is frustrating as hell when you're the mm-hmm. when you're the opponent. That's for sure.
Yeah, right.
So, Gabe, what do you think for the remainder of the season? You mentioned that there's some new things coming forward in the broadcast, and maybe you can't tell us exactly what it is, but what are you looking forward to as you grow the kind of the product on the broadcast going forward?
All right, I'm gonna say what I think's coming, but it might not come, so don't bank on it. But this is what I think we're gonna get. So I believe we're gonna be adding a second camera down on the field, which will really, I think, add a lot of, you know, it'll make it much more dynamic than it is now, and allow fans who are at home, who are traveling, who are watching back to get a much better look at the action and, you know, feel more engaged. People don't realize how big Finley Stadium is. And it's much bigger than most stadiums are for a city of this size. It puts your broadcast cameras and your broadcasters a lot further away from the action. Mm-hmm. You know, usually when stadiums are this size, there's more tools in place to help you as a broadcaster, as a broadcast crew. And usually your cameras are a lot bigger, bigger lenses, you know, able to capture a better picture. And so we don't have that type of equipment here. This is the scenic city, right? We're not in New York. We're not in Los Angeles. We're not dealing with $300,000 cameras. So different situation. Adding those two cameras will just make it much more dynamic. And I'd really like to bring in somebody to do a pregame show or some halftime analysis and or a sideline person. That's out of my control. I don't want to get in trouble for saying that or even hinting that could be a thing, but I think it would be a lot of fun, and I think it's a real possibility. So,
yeah. So no Skycam. I didn't hear Skycam in that. There's no Skycam.
It's a little out of the budget. We might be able to get a little viral cam off Amazon and just tape it to the front of the booth.
I just want an all 22. I just want the ability to see an all 22 angle, if, because that's where I like to watch the game. So I like to be up as high as possible so I could see the movement and stuff like that. So that's all I'm asking for. And VAR, we need VAR. So if you
VAR would be great.
No, never.
We were talking about that during a broadcast about, you know, just how video and all the review has impacted the game. And there's something to be said for human error.
Yeah, there's well, I mean, we've seen plenty of it. So there is something to be said. I the way the Premier League has put VAR into practice has been really a little bit of a train wreck. But yeah. So y'all, I said at the beginning we'd like to end with kind of what's making you smile this week, and so I'll give our guests a little bit of time to continue to think, and I'll start. Shabby, what's making you smile this week?
We are coming up on Mother's Day, and so I know that I can look forward to a poorly made breakfast in bed and handmade cards. That these are the joys of my life, actually. Like, I joke about it, but they mean a lot. So I am definitely looking forward to celebrating this weekend.
Awesome. Shelly, what's making you smile this week?
Well, my, you know, passion project outside of, you know, CFC is volunteering with CISV, and we are having a big golf tournament tomorrow that will make it possible for us to keep doing programs and, you know, possibly scholarships for kids who can go in our programs that might not be able to afford it otherwise. So just looking forward to being outside in the sun and hopefully little rain tomorrow. So I look forward to it every year. It's a lot of hard work, but it's making me smile because it's tomorrow and we'll get to have some fun on a day off of work.
And Todd, what's making you smile? Are you there? Did we get you back? Maybe not. Maybe he's still struggling with Elon's internet over in Bradley County.
Yeah, Elon's not making him smile.
Oh, there you are.
He is.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm here.
I love it.
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Well, what's making you smile this week, Todd?
Todd, it is going to be three high school teams in Whitfield County winning the state championship. Woo-hoo! I was getting kind of nervous in the quarterfinals that we weren't going to get anybody through, but we got three teams through and three state championships. So that's making me smile. And the other thing that's making me smile is my wife sold her business.
What?
So that's making me smile really big.
So. Wow. Okay. So okay. She's no more shop for her.
All right. Zekka, what's making you smile this week?
I have a coworker of mine who she's in a remote worker situation, and she's coming into Chattanooga next week.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I'm going to get to hang out with people that sometimes I'm only connecting through Zoom calls and all that stuff. And yeah, it's nice to be able to connect with people that way. So somebody that I already met, but I do like it, and she's actually staying at my house while she's in Chattanooga, so that'll be a lot of fun.
That is lovely. That awesome. Would make me smile too.
Yeah.
And Gabe, what's making you smile this week?
I'm making a quick trip, a real quick turnaround back to Michigan to see friends and family. So I'm very excited to reconnect and break a little bread and spend time laughing and telling jokes.
Awesome. Well, Gabe knows this. It's summertime at UTC, and I got to spend some time with my staff today and talk a little bit about the new plans for the summer. We're starting and opening our Prism Center, this LGBT center, coming up in this summer, and kind of doing some opening in the fall. So just getting to spend some time. You know, I love the students. And we wouldn't have a job without the students, but there is something about those first couple of weeks of summer when you've got some time to think and to like think about planning and what you're going to do in the fall. So yeah, that's what's making me smile this week. Hey, Gabe and Zekka, it's been great to have you on. Zekka, we're going to have you on back to do some game analysis because none of us know what the heck we're talking about. So we need
you guys are way more knowledgeable than me. Trust me.
There's no way that is true. First of all, you're Brazilian, so it's. I mean, it's.
Have you listened to our podcast?
Yeah.
I know. You guys, you know, you definitely have good points and good takes on the game. You know, I do respect it. I really respect that you and Todd, you guys, everybody that I've heard in the past. Do have the understanding of the game for sure. So even Shelly today was bringing in some good points. I was hearing she talking about soccer, and I was very impressed. So keep up, guys.
Yeah, Shelly and Shabby bring the fire. That's for sure. well, so again, thank you all for being on here. We've got a week off, and then next week we've got kind of a double header. One team is home, and one team is away. The men are on the road to, are they going to Rochester? Is that where they're going? Is it Flower City?
Flower City, Rochester.
And then the women are home, their first home match against Nashville. That's going to be a big time match to see. And that will say a lot about where their season is going. We did have another signing tonight, I believe, from the women's team. And I don't remember her name. Does anybody else remember who the signing was? This, well, check. Yes. Check. You do. What was her name?
Yeah, today it was Serena Lewis.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Yep, coming to us from Sanford, Florida. Mm-hmm. So the women's team, they've been rolling out a lot of. We talked a little bit about it last week, or actually not last week, just Sunday. We talked a little bit about. So check out the CFC stream, the women's team. The season is coming up really quickly. Hope to see y'all in Findlay next. Not this Saturday, but next Saturday. And until then, go CFC.
Oh, it's a cheeky goal.